Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. I'm very pleased to say we are reuniting with a man I've admired for a long time but have not spoken with for altogether too long. He is Congressman Ted Poe. He represents with great distinction the people of the 2nd District of Texas. He serves on the House Judiciary Committee and also on its Committee on Foreign Affairs. And in the latter regard, he chairs its Subcommittee on Terrorism, Nonproliferation, and Trade, issues that we're very much seized with around here at Secure Freedom Radio. Congressman Ted Poe, welcome back. It's good to have you with us, sir. Happy New Year.
Thank you, Frank. It's always good to talk to you.
Let's talk terrorism for a moment, if we may, Congressman. I want to sort of maybe start by getting your sense of whether the president adequately addressed this subject in the State of the Union address to your likes, and more generally, how do you think he's doing in this department?
The president didn't really address terrorism and the threat of terrorism at all. He still claims, and I think he actually believes, that the issue of climate change is the world threat. It's the threat to America. It's not ISIS. It's not all of the other terrorist groups, Boko Haram and Hezbollah and Hamas. It's climate change. So I was disappointed in that because the threat to America really is serious. And as you mentioned, I'm chairman of the Terrorism Subcommittee. ISIS is not a JV team. They are not contained. They are on the growing and causing mischief not only in the Middle East, but North Africa and, as we know, in Western Europe and getting credit for stuff in the United States.
And, Congressman, you've been focusing particularly on pieces of the infrastructure of this country that are susceptible to attacks by folks, not necessarily here, but, you know, through cyber means from elsewhere, whether it's our ports, whether perhaps it's our grid, whether it's the social media platforms. Talk a little bit about the extent to which, and the president touched on it, in fairness, a bit last night, but, you know, he sort of poo-pooed the idea that you know, the Islamic State, or ISIL, as he insists on calling it, could be an existential threat to the country. Knowing what you know about some of our vulnerabilities, does that sound right to you?
Well, ISIS is very aggressive. They have not ceased and desisted in their terrorism activities. They use American social media platforms, Twitter primarily, to not only use spread propaganda, but they use it to raise money and also to train. People who want to be radicalized don't need to go to Syria anymore. They can be radicalized using social media. There's training manuals on social media that ISIS posts so people can be trained how to use weapons, for example. This is very disturbing. So we need the social media companies, the American companies, to help bring down these sites. ISIS has 40,000 different sites on any given day. And so we want their help. And how do we do it? We don't need to reinvent a bunch of new technology. Use the same protocol that these same government or these same social media sites use for child pornography and bring down the terrorist sites. Do they have a constitutional right to be on these sites? No. Supreme Court's already ruled that a foreign terrorist organization does not have a U.S. constitutional right to use social media to spread these different things that I mentioned about, and people don't have a constitutional right to support those terrorist organizations through the use of social media. There's a case that already says that. So it's not a free speech issue. And so that's what we're trying to do, to work in cooperation with social media sites to bring down these sites that do those things that I mentioned.
One of the other things, though, that the Twitters and I think the Facebooks of the world are doing at the moment is trying to use their algorithms or other means to restrict what some would call freedom of speech of Americans, namely the interest, as they put it, of kind of restricting hate speech, saying if you're going to say something that might offend someone and cause them to get upset in a way that could be problematic, you know, they're not going to post your stuff. Is there a concern that we may be heading too far in a direction of constricting our freedom of speech, not that of ISIS and other enemies of this country, needless to say, but those of Americans?
That's why We have to be. Yes, you're right. I mean, I'm a great believer in the First Amendment, and I'm a libertarian, and I'm always concerned about the government ever prohibiting speech. This is a specific group of people. It's not all people who claim to be terrorists. These are people who are members of a designated foreign terrorist organization, such as ISIS. And we are limiting what they can do on social media. No one else, not even hate speech.
Yeah. No, I get that, Congressman. But what you may or may not know is that earlier this year, I mean, right at the beginning of the year, Twitter promulgated guidelines that will essentially shut down my tweeting, perhaps. And let me just touch on something else, because we're almost out of time with you, and you've got so many different parts to your portfolio. But I did want to ask you about Iran. We're in a situation now where, as you know, we're lurching towards implementation day, basically on the say-so of the International Atomic Energy Agency, that all's well in Iran, including this migration of something from Iran to Russia that is claimed to have been a bunch of enriched uranium. Nobody seems to know what was actually in that shipment, including the IAEA. Give us a sense of your concerns about this deal at this point, Congressman, and what, if anything, might yet be done about it.
Well, as you have just said, it has not been finalized yet. I do not trust the Iranians, and of course I've opposed the deal, but it is part of the deal. I think the Iranians are continuing to do below the radar the development of intercontinental ballistic missiles. This is not addressed in the deal. I think it needs to be addressed. Intercontinental ballistic missiles, they want those for the West and for the U.S. They don't need those kind of missiles for Israel. They're working with North Korea, who's also a rogue state, doing the same thing. And I think we need to take stronger actions against not only the Iranians, but their partners of North Korea, who are developing nuclear weapons and the ability to deliver those nuclear weapons. And it's all aimed toward the United States. So I think they will violate the treaty any way they can, or the deal any way they can. And of course, they're working with the Russians, and the Russians are supplying them conventional weapons already. So it's very disturbing about the Iranian deal, and I think in the long term we're going to find out that it wasn't a real good deal for the United States.
And, you know, one other piece of this, of course, is, as I know you appreciate from your vantage point in the Foreign Affairs Committee, Congressman Ted Poe of Texas, is that the Iranians are going to considerable lengths. I mean, the grabbing of these sailors who happily have now been released, but nonetheless, provocation upon provocation, humiliation upon humiliation. As you look at that region, notably, but not exclusively, the rising tensions between them and the Saudis and others, should we be concerned that we are really pouring not just gasoline, but, I don't know, nitroglycerin on the fires there, and making that region and our interests there much, much more problematic?
Yes, it's very volatile. Now, we are voting today on a bill that I have helped sponsor that tells the president that no sanctions can be relieved from Iran unless this country still supports terrorists, and the government has to certify to that. You know, that's one thing that we're doing, and we're also I've also filed legislation to designate the Iranian Revolutionary Guard as a foreign or as a terrorist organization. So we're still moving on that direction. The Middle East is in turmoil with Iran and Saudi Arabia now at each other, trying to be the big guy in the valley, so to speak. But we have to deal with Iran at arm's length, and we have to be able to make sure that we prevent them from doing what they still say they want to do, is to develop nuclear capability and delivery system.
Congressman, we have to let you go back to your day job. Thank you very much for your time today. As always, it's good to talk with you again, sir. We will do more of it in 2016, God willing. In the meantime, thanks for your service to the country and the House of Representatives. Keep it up, and we'll talk to you
soon.
Thank
you, Frank. Always great to talk to you.
Thank you, sir. Morgan Chalfant of Free Beacon joins us next. It's right over here.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.